open to that and lean into that together today. Tyler?
Happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. Thank you guys for tuning in. So glad that you're joining us. We are continuing in our Mind Blown series. If you've missed any of these past few weeks, I cannot encourage you enough. Go back, check those out. Really, really helpful series, especially if you missed last week. We had some ladies on stage being able to celebrate not only just Mother's Day, but the women in our faith family, and they dropped some fire truth bombs out for us. I took a lot of notes. My life is different because of them and better because of them. Go catch up on this series. Basically, what this series has been about is the concept of the fact that Easter, believe it or not, was just a month and a half ago. Seems sometimes like much longer. But this series is built upon the fact that there's a verse in Luke that records that when Peter ran to the empty tomb, that he saw that it was empty and that nobody was there, Peter ended up walking away marveling at what had happened. His mind was blown. And the Bible doesn't tell us specifically why his mind was blown, but this series has been the unpacking of the implications of an empty tomb, not just for Peter's life, the fact that his mind was blown, but that you and I, in the year 2020, and even in the midst of a pandemic, our minds can be blown at the truth of that historical event. Not a fairy tale, not a fable, but an actual account, a story, a historical lesson on somebody's life that they died and rose again from the grave. That's a powerful thought. And today we're going to continue that. Whatever medium that you're joining us on, it is our hope that if you find this helpful, you'll look for ways to share it. Get it to your friends. Let them discover the hope that you've discovered by tuning in and being a part of this journey with us. I wonder if one of the reasons Peter walked away from that empty tomb with his mind blown is because Peter was remembering some of the lessons that Jesus has taught. You see, when Jesus's life and the way he taught was the new. It was a new normal. In fact, that empty tomb meant that there would never be going back to normal. They had to discover what that empty tomb meant. Their mind was blown. It kind of parallels circumstances that exist today. So many of us are searching and wondering, when's normal coming back? Discounting the fact that we may need to be looking forward to a new normal because normal may not ever return. But was normal even working? And I love some of Jesus's teachings, and I'm convinced that one of the reasons Peter's mind was blown, that he walked away marveling, is because he was remembering specific incidents that suddenly the light bulbs finally came on to the power of Jesus's teachings. I wonder if one of those teachings, one of those moments that was in Peter's mind, was the story I'd like to share with you today from two different angles. It's actually really relatable to where you and I find ourselves in this day and age in the middle of a pandemic as our world begins to move forward and start to open up again. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is helping people see that in his kingdom, in the kingdom of God, the economy is very different than what you and I have grown up thinking, what you and I have grown up knowing, and what you and I have grown up living in. And here's what I mean by that. Matthew 23, verse 11, Jesus is talking and Jesus says, the greatest, it's a powerful statement, the greatest people, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest in the kingdom of God shall be your servant. That's a bold statement. It's a powerful statement. And as I read that, preparing for this message, I couldn't help but think of the story Mr. Rogers told, that when there was really difficult times, when scary things happened, when uncertain things happened, when things that alarmed us or made us uncomfortable happened, Mr. Rogers would share that his mom taught him to look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. Look for the people that in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of a pandemic, who are the people that are busying themselves helping, serving others? You know what she didn't say? She didn't say, look for the screamers. Look for the complainers. Listen to the opinionated. Listen to the people in power. Listen to those that are convinced of what's true versus what's not. The advice she gave was look to the helpers. And I tell you what, just personally for myself in this season, in this pandemic, I have been blown away with gratitude at the helpers that I've seen. Frontline workers on the cutting edge, putting themselves often in harm's way to care for people who are sick. I'm so grateful for the way that you stepped up and served others. For our law enforcement, our firefighters, EMTs, military folks, all the folks that have put themselves on the front lines and not backed down. I'm thankful for teachers that on 1 week learned an entirely new paradigm to go about helping students gain the knowledge that they had plans for anyway. Look for the helpers. And I tell you what, I am so proud of the helpers that exist in Bridgepoint, that have gone back to their jobs, that have gone into the hospitals, that have taken their existing model of employment and flipped it on its head to be a helper in these uncertain times. I'm proud to be in a faith family with you. I'm thankful for the helpers that Bridgepoint has sent out, for those of you that have gone to the hospitals to hold signs communicating our gratitude, for those of us that have been checking Bridgepoint's page, looking for ways to serve and engage our community in a time like this. Thanks for being a helper. According to Jesus's economy, you are the greatest among us. Please keep leading. You're inspiring me. It's powerful the way you're working. I hope even today you're considering, we have blood mobiles on the Tyrone campus and the downtown campus, and I hope you're looking for a way to engage our community. And if it's not that, find something, because the greatest among us, Jesus says, shall be your servant. I love the concept of that, but you know what really gets to me? You know what concerns me that makes me a little bit alarmed? The very next statement out of Jesus's mouth. Verse 12, Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The greatest are the servants, but Jesus then makes a really strong statement that whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Not might be, not their end will get to this place. It is you and I, if we're puffing ourselves up, if our pride gets too big, if we think we're more important than we really are, it's in those moments that we have to be very careful, because pride tends to come before a fall. It's a powerful statement. But you and I would never exalt ourselves, right? That's not how we are. All I'm busy doing is just trying to live my plans for God. And I'll share them with you, because they're actually quite humble. You would agree with me. God, my plan and the way I need you to come through for me, I want to be, I'm not looking to be insanely rich. That's ridiculous. But God, if you would just bless me with a 6 digits before the decimal, a 6-digit salary, it doesn't have to be on the high end, creeping towards a million. There's a bottom end, 6 digits. God, because I want to use that money to build your kingdom. God, if you would bless me, I would give to the church. I would give to other charities. I would take care of my family so simply. I could buy things and not have to go straight to the clearance section. I wouldn't worry about consignment stores. God, I'm not asking. I don't want to be stupid rich. That's insane. But God, 6 digits, that's not too much to ask, is it? And God, my plans for my life is, and if you would come through just to make me famous, not like wildly famous, not like top 10 influencers, nobody wants that kind of pressure. But God, I just want people to listen to me. I want people to follow me. I want people to do what I say, not because I think I'm that important, right? But God, imagine the kingdom impact I could have for you if I had a lot of popularity. God, this is for you. These are my plans for what you want for me. And God, while you're at it, I don't expect perfect relationships, because I know that's not possible. But God, would you come through in a way that all of my relationships are just smooth sailing? Like, I know you love all people. But God, I am so busy and it's for you. I'm working for you. So God, I don't have time for difficult people. I don't have time for people that are hard to love. I don't want to invest myself in people that are down and out because God, my time is important because I'm trying to follow you. You know, God, this is all for you. So God, would you help other people to reach and love those that are hard to love? Because I know you love them. I do too. But for me, it'll be best from a distance. And God, while you're at it, again, no such thing is perfect, but would you make my kids so easy to raise? A bad day every year would be okay, but God, bad days in a row, that doesn't reflect well on me. And as a pastor, can that reflect well on you? God, I'm just trying to think about what you want for my life. And so on that note, God, if you would just allow me to have a really nice house, not the nicest, I'm not vain, but a nice house in the nice and right neighborhoods, in the right space, so I can drive the right cars. God, I just want to claim it because I believe that you want probably a Mercedes for me. God, just to be comfortable. I don't want everything. I don't want to ask for too much. I just want to have a nice, comfortable, easy life. God, I'm going to believe it because I know you want to bless me. But God, it's not just me. I'm thinking about group leaders that really want to know that the groups that they lead, look how many people are in them. God, how the people in our church, they deserve Instagram followers too. They deserve that kind of info. God, we're not asking for much. We're not asking for all of it. We just want, God, we want these to be the plans that we can take to you so that you'll be so proud of us. And as long as, God, I know you'll be proud. But as long as I stay focused on my plans and I can be busy building my little kingdom, then in all reality, practically speaking, God, if you'll just keep showering blessings down on me, we'll be good. I'll take what you've given me and I'll build something that's going to make you proud. But God, if you could just, I don't mean this rude, but you've blessed me. Just stay out of the way a little bit. I'll holler at you when I need you. You hear it? All these plans I made for God. I would never exalt myself, Tyler. I would never exalt myself as a pastor. But man, the moment we start setting expectations in our life, the moment we start telling God all the things we'll do for him, if he'll show up for us in all these different ways. And the moment we start doing that, we in effect say to God, God, thanks that you shower blessings upon us. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But God, if you could stay out of my way as I use those blessings. Because Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now, here's what I want to warn you about. The gap that exists in our lives between the expectations for our lives, all the things we want to do for God, the plans that we've made for him, the gap between expectations and reality, existing in the middle of that is where conflict happens. And the wider the gap between expectation and reality, the more intense the conflict. But you know what's troubling about that? We will often take those moments and wondering, God, I had all these plans for you. And God, here's where I really am. God, why have you not come through for me? You see the danger in that? Why is it that we create those expectations in and of ourselves? But when God doesn't meet those, that's gotta be his fault, right? Again, don't hear me. There's nothing wrong with when he does bless us. But when we begin to dwell in the reality that our expectation doesn't match our reality, then why do we so often take this formula and say, God, what is your deal? Why are you not coming through for me? Do you see what I'm trying to do for you? And that leads to more questions. And in a pandemic season, I'm sure many of you are in a place, and I'm certainly not making light of the pain and loss many, even in our own faith family, are feeling in this time. But we begin to say, why, God? Why not all the plans that I had? Why is my job gone? Why is my income halved or lost? Why is this relationship so strained? Why is there a non-existent relationship? Why do I feel so alone? Why, God, why did this have to happen? And here's what I want to remind you of. Asking questions is great. God is absolutely big enough to handle our questions. So long as you and I don't get stuck in the unmet expectations. Because what most often happens is we establish plans for our life. And when suddenly God doesn't come through the way we want him to, we turn to him as if he is the problem. But according to Jesus, none of us are walking around beating our chest saying, I'm exalting myself. But the way we tend to live our lives really falls in the warning from Jesus's verse. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know what the issue with that is? There's really only two responses. You get grumpy. And can I caution you about grumpy? Being grumpy about what isn't never propelled people towards satisfaction. Think about that. How many people do you know that are going around complaining about what isn't, complaining about what is, complaining about their story, their season in life, their marriage, their family, their finances, their job? How many people do you know that are grumpy that would then turn around and say, but you know what? I am so satisfied in my life. That doesn't happen because grumpiness can't produce that. Grumpiness grows roots in our hearts that cause us just to simply focus on the expectations we place on our life that God didn't meet. But you know what the other option is? You can get grumpy, or you work to be grateful. And you know what grateful for? You know what that does in our hearts? Grateful for what has been. Grateful for the blessings that God has given us. Grateful that when we look around in the good times and the bad, when we're grateful for what has been, that grounds our hearts to hold on to a faith for what will be. Because when we reach a place where we recognize that every good and perfect thing that's been in my life is all because God, through his grace, loved me enough to bless me. Looked at me with blessing and with favor. And when we can be grateful for what has been, our hearts are then positioned to say, God, these aren't the circumstances I would have picked for my life. This isn't the path I would have chosen to go down. But you know what? I'm so grateful for all you've done in my life, and I'm going to hold on to the faith that my best is next. I'm going to hold on to the faith that you're still God, I'm still not, and it's still worth trusting you. Again, don't hear me making light of some of the hurt, loss, and grief that some of us are walking in this coronavirus. I can't relate to it. I hurt to know that many of you are hurting, but I can't relate to that. But can I be honest with you about this season that many of us find ourselves in? COVID-19, coronavirus, this pandemic has not been the cause of some of your problems. This virus, this pandemic has simply accentuated the seeds of things that already existed in your heart. This pandemic, this safer at home season has certainly watered and fertilized those things so that they will grow rapidly. But this stuff is not our issue. It's the problems we're facing is what goes on in our hearts when the issue comes up, not making light of it. Now, hear me closely. I have no reason. I can't understand why coronavirus is happening. I don't know why God allows it. I don't have any answers related to that. But I wonder if it's the unmet expectation lens that we tend to view this in, instead of the lens that propels us to be grateful. Here's what I mean. I'm not saying God is involved in this, but if it's true that God uses all things, including a virus, for our good and our ability to celebrate him, then what if God was using this pandemic to get you out of the wrong career and into the career that was really intended to be your purpose? What if in the midst of this pandemic, God was using this so that you could actually get to know your kids and your family? What if this was the opportunity that you had forced, dedicated time to invest in that relationship? What if this was the reality that because this relationship has become, this dating relationship became so strained in this season, it's because God's trying to get you out of it? What if God was using this to strip away our confidence in our abilities and what we can earn for ourselves? What if God's reminding us that though we like to think we're in control and in charge, we've never been able to see and predict the future? What if God was using this pandemic to close the gap between our often selfish and often unrealistic plans for our lives, to open our eyes to what it means to love God and to love others? Because what if God was using those of us that follow Jesus, just trying to give us an opportunity to send out more helpers into the world? But here's where I want to caution you, because the world's beginning to move towards opening back up, at least where we are here in Pinellas County. We're starting to look at what's next. And I love what our lead pastor posted to his social media this past week. He said, as the world opens back up, Tim's words, remember, you're not the center of it. It's a powerful perspective. Because left up to you and I, I really believe we would see a lot more preference-driven decisions than we would things that were purposeful. And here's what I mean. For me, personally, my preference would be that we already were back in gyms. I miss working out with my people at the gym that I love to go to. I'm ready for that to be back. And I hope that by the time we're seeing this and it's coming, and by the time you're watching this later, that it's coming soon. But you know what? Preferentially speaking, economically notwithstanding, I have not been hurting for barber shops and hair salons to open back up. But that's just a preference of a guy that looks great without a head covering. But see, that's the temptation, is we begin to view the world around us with us being smack dab in the middle of it. And if we're not careful, that will drive us to a place that we just get frustrated and grumpy with God about what's going on. Well, what's the alternative? Well, I would propose to you that the alternative to that is to look for ways to help, to invest ourselves into something that will last, something that matters. It's been said that only two things, this is a powerful thought, only two things on earth last forever: the word of God and the souls of people. That's it. That is it. You and I were created with a soul that was intended to live forever. And because God spoke, that will always exist. Everything else is just window dressing in our journey towards eternity. So maybe our focus needs to be less on the plans and expectations we have for God and more about saying, God, how can I focus my energy, efforts, life? How can I make an impact? How can I be a helper in a way that lasts? Let me put it to you another way. Maybe what we need to ask God is, God, will you help me help people, all people, get closer to God? That's why the mission exists for our church, because we want to focus on combining the two things that will last forever, long beyond this world's time, and invest ourselves into a mission that's so much bigger than any one of us. Would you consider joining that? Because I'm trying to position my heart to be in that place. Because you know what Jesus said? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe that became and inserted himself into creation, the God that became a man. I'm reminded of a passage in Matthew. Jesus was walking with his disciples. You know what he said in that moment? Many of them, even their mamas, were fighting about who was the greatest among them and who would have the most authority in God's kingdom. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28? He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The King of Kings, God in human flesh, Jesus the Lord, didn't come to force us into submission. Didn't come to micromanage our lives. Didn't come to control us, to manipulate us, to force us to do anything. Instead, Jesus came to invest himself in generosity. To invest himself in the two things that will last. To invest himself into something that would change the world forever. And he invested himself into us by serving us. Because the temptation for all of us is to allow our pride to want to say as if it were actual spoken words, God, I don't need you. I've got this. I'll handle my problems. You keep the blessings coming. And we walk away for the plans and purposes that God has for us, trying to do things by ourselves. And how well is it working for us? But God, recognizing that even at our worst, when we were actively enemies with God, saying, God, I've got this. Jesus loved us enough to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's a powerful thought. And I hope what blows our minds today is that we look back to a historical event. And that event was an empty tomb. That reminding ourselves that tomb was only needed because a death happened. And Jesus' death only occurred because he was serving me and he was serving you. Serving us, that instead of us having a colossal collapse of our lives and our eternities, instead he gave us an invitation of life. Not forced upon us. Not dictated to us. But instead, if we'll grab a hold of that historical truth, that the tomb was empty, that Jesus died, that he was buried with all the wrong, all the pride, all the yuck in myself. But instead of staying dead, he defeated sin and death forever by coming to life. That can blow our minds to live for something new. You see, mind blown reminds us that this was the event that changed history. Mind blown, the resurrection means that life is found on the other side of our willingness to die to ourselves. That resurrection, it becomes the imperfect person, mine, yours, the imperfect person's invitation into the story of a perfect Savior. But can I remind you today that the resurrection is the reminder that in God's economy, to lead is to serve. To make a difference is to sacrifice. And to impact is to invest our lives. You know what that means for us? You know what the good news means for me? It means we can stop cheating on our family with our work because people matter more than what we can earn or do. It means we can stop escaping from reality with things that are fantasy. It means that we can ask for help to address the pain instead of just trying to numb it. It means that we get to become the best boss, employee, coworker, manager, friend, entrepreneur we can, not so that profits will simply grow, but so that the team, the people, and the community around us can grow and get better. It means that we get to find the courage to step into the dream and the wild call that we know God's been asking and planning for us. It means that we find the patience to wait for that which is God's best. Means we find the gumption to leave when we know that we've been settling. It means that we tune in next week to figure out exactly what we do when we feel like we're not good enough or we feel like we're too weak to be a part of God's calling. It means that we focus on exactly what Jesus taught that empty tomb represented, which was this. John chapter 15, verse 13, and Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. That someone lay down his life for his friends. Today, do you understand that Jesus' offer to serve you was the loudest demonstration that this world can offer? And there is nothing like it to know that the King of Kings that God laid down his life for those he calls friends. And that could be you. I don't know when you're hearing me and I don't know where you're hearing me from, but here's what I want you to know. That offer from Jesus is yours. That love offer, the plans that he has for you, the desires that he wants to do in and through you, the purpose that he wants to give to your life is in front of you today. And for some of us, the decision some of us need to make is to say, Jesus, I've done it on my own for far too long, but today I want to take that offer. By faith, I want to grab a hold of the fact that the tomb is empty. And in that tomb died my pride, my sin, my enemy nature towards you. And God, instead, I want to come into the life that you have for me. Just happens right in your heart. For the rest of us, it's time for us to start looking for ways to be a helper. It's time for us to start making noise in this world. Not the noise of conspiracy, not the noise of criticism, not the noise of my plans, my purpose, my perspective, but instead the noise that said we will be the helpers because we've been served in a way that blows our minds. The resurrection is the reminder that to lead is to serve, to make a difference is to make a sacrifice, and to impact is to invest our lives. I hope today that your mind is blown with the opportunity in front of you to quit trying, to quit fighting, to quit trying to earn it and deserve it, but instead to lay down your life to take up Jesus's. My mind is blown because the tomb is empty and purpose is ahead of us. Will you pray with me? God, would you blow our minds once more with the truth of the depth of your love for us? God, help us to quit settling for less than your best. And God, instead, help us help people, all people, to get closer to you, to find a life that we didn't know was possible. Thank you, Jesus, that the tomb is empty and life is in front of us. Because of your sacrifice and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.